So our text tonight is going to be taken from Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Romans 12 verse 10. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honour, preferring one another. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honour, preferring one another. Now, recently, it seems to me that a number of sermons and Bible studies have brought our attention to brotherly love in various forms and various ways. Is it appropriate or necessary to pay this subject so much attention? I honestly think it is. And I think, again, we get our guidance from the scriptures. 1 John 4:8 says, "He loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love." God is love. That's our direction. So why do we need to cultivate, why do we need to grow, develop brotherly love in the church? Now, I have very few friends. Not a big deal. It's a fact. I have very few friends. But the friends that I do have, which is a few, I've known literally for 50 plus years. And literally, I mean this, we have shed blood, sweat and tears together at work. And, you know, some of them I still know quite closely. But they are not my brothers in Christ, my brothers in the Lord. They currently have no part to play in my Christian life, because they would not know what I was talking about. They wouldn't have any sympathy or empathy. They would have no interest at all. And possibly they may even be hostile to what I was saying to them. We get our compassion and our support, humanly speaking, from within the church, literally, in our case, humanly speaking, those gathered with us here today, whether in the room or online. So to cultivate, to develop brotherly love is for our own good. And it's essential, as we will not get a meaningful support from outside of the church. Now, we know that from 10 o'clock onwards tonight, this country is going to start to change quite dramatically. And it would appear, probably, the most important politician in this country, as from probably 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, will be an avowed atheist. Okay? Absolutely no belief in God whatsoever. Now, pretty well all of the major party manifestos highlighted conversion therapy to suppress it, stamp it down, however they're going to do it. I would suggest that it's quite a small step to then eat into other parts of religious freedom of speech. So again, we get our support, we get our help from the fellowship, from those amongst us who know and love and trust the Lord. We won't get it from our friends. We won't get it probably from the politicians or the government in future days. Now, tonight, there's going to be a lot of references. It's a Bible study, a lot of references. Now, don't feel any pressure to look those references up, because there are going to be quite a few. And if you would like detailed notes, then please let me know. But there will be some passages which we can actually read together, and that would be good to look them up when the time comes, and I'll make that clear. Christianity is founded on love. As soon as sin entered the world, the fall of man, God was there to say, there will be a saviour. Genesis 3:15. Immediately. Within, I assume, minutes, there was that promise that a saviour would come to save the mankind if they chose if they wanted to, as it were. It's scriptural, right and proper, that the love which is showered upon us should form an integral part of our Christian makeup, that which is inside, our DNA, that which we base our lives on, love, because it is scriptural to do that. We also need to make the point here that brotherly love refers to love amongst the saints. Okay, I've looked at this quite carefully. In that particular text, it's to do with love amongst the saints. Now, we are to love and we are to yearn for the salvation of the lost, those who have no desire or trust in the Lord Jesus Christ at this time. But this passage, that text, I believe very strongly, is to do with brotherly love amongst the fellowship, God's people. Now, it's always good and right and proper to understand the context of a passage that it's being focused on. Romans 12 is a chapter of guidance to a relatively young church and to young Christians as to how they should live their lives, their Christian lives, regarding duty and regarding relationship with their fellow Christians. Now, Rome is an amazing place, even today, once you get beyond the graffiti and all the stuff, the inner part, Rome is an amazing place still. The architecture and the structures are absolutely amazing. And if you try and take your mind back to when this chapter was written, the hustle and the bustle and the excitement and the politics, everything in Rome probably was amazing in those days. And when this young church was formed, and when these Christians came to understand the better way of trusting Christ, they had to change. They had to make changes to their lives. And Romans, partly in chapter 12, is the way in which they were guided to live their lives and to have their focus on what they should be doing. Their lessons, I believe this again, their lessons are our lessons. Right? The scripture is there for our edification as much as it was at the time it was written to the people living in Rome. I think it's scriptural also to acknowledge that we are all different. We are individuals, literally special in God's sight. We are individuals. And we feel love and exhibit love in different ways. Our emotions are unique to us. But the most important aspect is that we demonstrate and practice brotherly love in our own way, under God's guidance and under the development of our sanctification. Making comparisons as to how others respond and how they express their love is not too helpful. And as a fruit of the Spirit, we need to build and develop love along with the other elements of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I've got three headings tonight. It's quite a lot and might have to cut back a bit. We'll see how we go. So three headings. Firstly, the features of brotherly love, its component parts, or at least some of them. What makes up brotherly love? What are all the bits that come together to form brotherly love? Secondly, the hindrances to brotherly love. And thirdly, why should we cultivate, why should we develop, why should we build brotherly love? Now, I confess that I'm indebted to a man called Charles Bridges for some of the guiding thoughts on this study. Mr. Charles Bridges lived 200 years ago or so, and during his lifetime, at least 24 editions of his exposition of Psalm 119 were published, and C.H. Spurgeon considered the commentary to be worth its weight in gold. And Spurgeon also pronounced Bridges' exposition of Proverbs the best work on Proverbs. So there's a lot to occupy our thoughts and our hearts tonight, and we may need to touch on some of these points lightly, and we may need to linger on some. We will see how the time goes. So firstly, the features of brotherly love. And the first feature is sincerity. Sincerity. I must admit, as I was writing this down, I was thinking about, you know, through the next 12 hours, whatever it is, and the opposite would be shown, wouldn't it? Some of these people are going to lose their jobs and they're probably well done to the other person. And there's no sincerity there. They will be insincere in a lot of the ways. But our Christian brotherly love should be based on sincerity. Again, this is a reference you don't have to look up. Romans 12, verse 9. Let your love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. We need to be clear here again. If we are without Christ, then we don't have the ability to offer brotherly love in the sense of exercising that closeness of Christian bond that emanates from a personally known loving Saviour. We sometimes come across people who profess to be saved, but there are signs that lead us to have caution. They say all the correct words, but are they truly sincere in the words which they say? As the Lord's people, we need to consider the sincerity of all that we do and say. 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned or sincere love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Doing things. Now, I want to make an application here. How do we know what our fellow Christians' needs are, or what deeds we can give to them? How can we deliver brotherly love unless there is a closeness in the fellowship? Do I know all of the church members as well as I should? No, I don't. Should I make a greater effort? Yes, I should. But please join with me in that. We should step out sometimes from our well-trodden paths of friends, out of our comfort zone, and we should engage with all of the fellowship. Sincerity is a key feature of brotherly love, the quality of being free from pretense, deceit, or hypocrisy. Let us strive to make our brotherly love truly genuine and sincere. Our second point, humble. Humble. Our brotherly love should be humble. Surely one of the fruits of the Spirit that we have to work hardest at, we can go back to our text, Romans 12 verse 10, the second part, we can track back, in honour, preferring one another. They're powerful words, aren't they? In honour, preferring one another, putting our fellow Christian first. Now, that's easy if it's one of the more popular church people. Not quite so easy if it's one of the people on the periphery who are not quite so responsive in their return of brotherly love. John 13, verse 14, again from our reading earlier, the very Son of God, I'm reading into it, but I guess he got down on his knees to wash the disciples' feet. It doesn't say that, but I'm guessing that. Now, this was not just a picture. There is an element of command here. Ye also ought to. He said to the disciples, you also ought to. Now, we don't wash people's feet these days, but don't let that a detail distract from the sentiment to be humble and to serve. Ephesians 4, verse 2. Lowliness. Philippians 2, 3. Lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. How difficult that is to do. We're going to think about pride in a minute, but how difficult that is to do, to esteem others better than themselves. another application for us here. We need to join the first two points up. Let our humility be sincere. Thirdly, self-denying. Self-denying. If we are not humble, then the prospect of self-denying, it just won't happen. We need to deny self in our humility. Romans 15 verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Self-denying, putting others first. The scriptures are like a mirror. Got someone at the door. The scriptures are like a mirror. We view ourselves via the scriptures and we need to check what we look like. Are we in good spiritual shape or are there areas of which we need to work on? Now we can read together 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verses 1 to 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verses 1 to 4. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. Now that's a prime example, I believe, of self-denial. Self-denial. Those people gave beyond their power to give with no regard to personal cost. Galatians 5:13, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Not to care for ourselves necessarily, but to care for others. Our fourth point, and this is the ingredients, if you like, of brotherly love. Forbearing. Another word for forbearing could be patience or long-suffering. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. There is a reminder here of an earlier point. It's a bit tricky to be forbearing or patient with someone if you do not have fellowship with them. We need to join together primarily in the work, but taking the opportunity to be joyful in the Lord together. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Now sometimes the teaching of the scriptures can be truly challenging. What are we to do, though? If it's too hard, do we ignore it? No. We pray for grace. We constantly seek our iterative, our ongoing sanctification and development of the fruit of the Spirit. The hard and the challenging parts of the scripture will become more manageable and achievable if we come before God and say, I need that strength, I need that help, I need that guidance, I need your blessing upon my Christian life. The next point is to be forgiving, another aspect of brotherly love. We touched on our previous item of forbearing, but I would just mention a couple of references which are applicable. Matthew 18:21-35, there was that parable of the king and the unforgiving servant. You'll remember that the king forgave him a huge debt, But the servant then went out and railed upon one of his fellows for a small, small debt. We need to be forgiving. Ephesians 4:32, the essence of which is to be kind and forgiving. We move on to being watchful. Watchful, another aspect of brotherly love. Galatians 6, verse 1. This verse brings us into the realms of being taking on responsibility for others. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Colossians 3:16 talks of the need to admonish, to point out failings and problems. Now here we need to be very careful and wise, covering such a situation much in prayer. I was reminded earlier on of that point which the Lord Jesus Christ made of about the speck in the eye of another and the mote or the beam, sorry, the speck which is mote or the beam in the eye. So we need to be very careful in calling our brethren to a point if we are too making the same mistakes maybe. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. Now we could link in here humility, taking on board that guidance and that mentoring. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. 2 points here. The next verse, which followed on from that particular part, talked about not neglecting to gather together, to join together. That's where we get fellowship. That's where we get that knowing of each other. That's where we get that opportunity to exercise brotherly love and to take brotherly love. And it talks about provoking or stirring up. It speaks of an action to be involved, to take up the initiative of being together and working on brotherly love together. So also it's pretty obvious really, but to be kind. And it's again something which we've touched on previously, but I think enough is to say that kindness is one of the first steps in exercising brotherly love. Showing an interest. How are you? Can I help in any way? Small and simple acts of kindness, but sometimes they are offered just at the right time. 1 Corinthians 13:4-7 says that charity suffereth long. This is another element of the scriptures, which is a challenge. We refer again to our sanctification and our development of the fruit of the Spirit. 1 Peter 3:8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Those words, that to me encapsulates what kindness is, brings it all together and crystallizes what kindness should be amongst the brothers and the sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Another point of what is brotherly love, it's flowing from the truth. Now, this point is a reiteration really of the comment made in the introduction, that we need to be the Lord's in order to demonstrate true brotherly love. This particular reference makes the point powerfully. 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently. Unfeigned meaning real, genuine, heartfelt. now, as we come to the close of our first heading, there is a good passage which we can read together, which brings it all together, summarises it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 to 7. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 to 7. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. So all of those things work together to pour together brotherly love. Now, to conclude this section, the section being what are the component parts of brotherly love, I just want to briefly touch on what brotherly love is not. What brotherly love is not. And this indeed is worthy of studies in and of itself, as there is, I believe, a scriptural warrant for self-control, which, if not exercised, can lead to difficulties. My understanding of the scriptures in this regard is that there is a balance which needs to be struck. The need for not too much and the need for not too little on a person-to-person basis. We turn to the scriptures. Philippians 2, verse 4. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Then the balance comes in. 1 Thessalonians 4:11. It comes in this verse comes in a section speaking about brotherly love and directs us to do your own business. Now, there is a need here for guidance in prayer, especially for church officers to be in prayer, to exercise brotherly love, but also to be wise in how we show it and how we use it. Now, some of our brothers and sisters in Christ will need a much deeper level of love and support and guidance. We pray for wisdom and guidance in all that we do. Now, it's a bygone language, I accept, but Matthew Henry, one of the well-known commentators of many years ago, he used this language. He cautioned against being a busybody and meddling. So that's where that balance comes in. Not to be, nosy, but to pray and to consider how people can be helped without diving too deep into their personal business. So that's the component parts of brotherly love. And now, second heading, the hindrances of brotherly love and how we should guard against these hindrances, because they can be, if we are not careful, so very, very hurtful. So our first one is occasions of offence. And we can read together again, if you wish, from Romans chapter 14 and verses 13 to 21. Romans 14 verses 13 to 21. Let us therefore not judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block on an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offence. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. I think the key verse there is verse 21. We should live our lives in a way that does not cause others to stumble. Now this is a challenge again, and it needs much prayer and commitment to work towards. There may be things in our life which we believe to be completely right and proper, but to a younger or a weaker Christian, it may cause them to really stumble and to backslide and to cause real problems. And that's where we should seek to pray and to see how we live our lives, because we don't want to cause an occasion of offence. 1 Corinthians 8:9-13, this passage again speaks of seeking not to be a stumbling block and denying ourselves so as to protect the weaker saints. And 1 Corinthians 10:32-33 says, give no offence. Hebrews 12:15, be a good example to avoid bitterness in the church. These are challenges. This is sanctification in action, isn't it? Growing up in a way that is good, that is helpful, that is a blessing to others, rather than being a stumbling block. So our next hindrance is hastiness. Now, in honesty, this causes me to bow my head, because I am so often guilty of this. Now, Joshua 22 and some verses there talks about God's sovereign will towards the children of Israel. That they had hoped for a particular situation, and now when it wasn't happening, they were bitter towards some of the other tribes, and they retaliated against the other tribes in haste, and it was wrong. They didn't think, they didn't pray, they didn't pause, they didn't shut their mouths for a moment and think. They just went in and they did, and it was wrong. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 9, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. And as I read that, I changed it slightly. Graham, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Another one, the hindrance of pride. The hindrance of pride. This is something which can hinder brotherly love. Proverbs 28:25, he that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife. And it even affected the disciples. Mark 9:33-34, they had pride in their hearts as to who should be the greatest. And then further on in Mark 10:41-44, James and John, the disciples, asked the Lord Jesus to grant them their wish so that they could sit on his right and his left-hand side in glory. Pride took over, didn't it? Pride took over. Again, another hindrance, resentment. Resentment. Leviticus 19:18 is a warning not to seek vengeance through resentment. Proverbs are always worth looking at, aren't they, with such things? Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. the power of love. God wiped away our sins if we are trusting in him. And we have a responsibility in that regard to follow forward, don't we, towards our brothers and sisters in Christ. Ephesians 4, 26, 31 and 32. A key point here is not to let things fester. Not to let things fester. A dear brother in the fellowship assumed that he had offended me some time ago, which he had definitely not. But it was all sorted out, 5 minutes, done. Not to let things fester, not to let them sit on your mind and they'd start to change a bit, don't they? Sort it. No festering. James 5, verse 9. Do not hold a grudge. God sees, God hears, and God knows everything. Another hindrance, selfishness. Selfishness. We can again refer to the previously mentioned reference of Philippians 2, 4 and 21, which directs us not to reflect on our own situation, but to seek to help others. Pastor recently said, if you're too much in your own, in yourself, if you're too much selfishness and looking inwards, get out there and help somebody, and that will certainly make things seem a lot better for you. James 2, 15 and 16, a very practical directive, not just to say fluffy words, but to actually go and do and help in a tangible way. Another hindrance, provoking words. It's a big long passage, but 1 Kings 12, 14 and 16, you remember really that Rehoboam, the king, that young king, he ignored God's wisdom and he ignored the wisdom of the elder men that God had sent to help him. And he gave provoking words to his people. And there was huge upset. There was huge trouble because he ignored God. And Proverbs 15:1, grievous words stir up anger. James tells us that the tongue is an unruly evil. And finally, this section is hindrances to brotherly love. Hindrances to brotherly love. Envy. Envy. Galatians 5:26 contains a warning regarding envy. Philippians 2, verse 3, teaches us to foster a lowliness of mind. James 3:16 says, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. James 4, 5 and 6, God resisteth the proud. And we can refer back to our text in Romans 12, verse 10, in honour, preferring one another. If we are putting others first, it is difficult to envy them because we are instigating, aren't we? We're putting them first. How can we envy people who we have put first? Now, we could go on to think about stress and being too busy, but time's going to beat us. So those are some of the hindrances of true brotherly love. Now, third and final, you've been very patient. We continue. Why should we cultivate brotherly love? Why should we develop it? Why should we work on it? Firstly, from a sense of God's love to us. Ephesians 5, verses 1 and 2. We are followers of God. This verse tells us that as Christ walked in love and gave himself for us in love, we are doing that which is right and proper regarding loving the brethren. We looked at with Pastor, haven't we, in recent studies and sermons, 1 John 3:16 and 4:11. These verses underline the fact that God loved us and that this is where our guidance and our example stems from. And that's why we should have that sense of God's love to us and bring it forward to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Now, another point, in conformity of divine example, right? The example that's been given to us. John 13:34, we read earlier from this chapter how the Lord Jesus Christ himself took on the role of a servant. This particular verse tells us, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. There's the example coming through, the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved his disciples, and we also should love one another. 2 Corinthians 8:9. Christ, for our sakes, abased himself in love to us. Ephesians 4:31-32. Be kind to one another. Ephesians 5:2. Walk in love. Colossians 3:13. Forbearing and forgiving. This is the example we're given. But then also, if the next point follows on in a way, that's the example, and now this is the command. Matthew 7:12. Do unto men as you would have done to you. That's a command. Example, and then the command. John 15:12. This is my commandment, that you love one another. 1 John 3:11. Love one another. Verse 23, love one another. Chapter 4:21, love one another. 2 John 5, love one another. It's quite clear, isn't it, as a command. That's what we should do. We should love one another. And again, we remind ourselves, why are we doing it? Because this is where our strength and our support and our compassion and our sympathy will stem from. Another reason we should cultivate brotherly love is as a fruit of the Spirit. Pastor spoke to us recently about that, didn't he? 1 Corinthians 12:13. One body in the Spirit, which is to love one another. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Colossians 1:8. Who declared unto us your love in the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Taught of God to love one another, the fruit of the Spirit. It's also a practical obligation or a duty. Hebrews 13:1, we are to keep at it. We are to continue. 1 Peter 2:17, love the brotherhood. This underlines our earlier thoughts that it's the brotherly love, which we're talking about, is to our fellow believers, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm sorry. 1 Peter 4:8, fervent charity, as this covers a multitude of sins. Surely that's a particular Bible study in its own right. Fervent charity or love, as this covers a multitude of sins. Christian consistency. 1 Thessalonians 3:12-13. If you wish to look it up, then that's fine, but I will read it anyway. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love, one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, with all his saints. Again, there is a depth there, isn't there? Unblameable in holiness. Again, that deserves in and of itself a deeper dive as a study to really understand what that means. This is one I particularly found for myself very encouraging. Why do we cultivate brotherly love? It's as a means of Christian assurance. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. I found that very encouraging indeed. getting towards the end now, but it's also an enjoyment of Christian privilege. Ephesians 4, 30 to 32. We have the blessing of having our sins forgiven through the love of God. Now, this is a privilege which is beyond earthly description. Surely, therefore, because God has done that, as nasty as we are, God loves us. As sinful as we are, God loves us. Surely, we should therefore use that privilege which is ours to love one another and to delight in it. Also, it brings honour to our Lord. 2 Thessalonians 1, 3 and 4. The world sees us, how we behave one with another. This happens now, and it's happened throughout the history of the Christian church. There's a well-known saying attributed to a man known as Tertullian, and this was spoken many, many, many years ago. See how the Christians love one another. It is a witness. It is a witness to those who look at our church from the outside. Also, it's an edification and strength to the church. Ephesians 4:16, edifying of itself in love, growing and learning together in love. Philippians 1:27, of one accord and of one mind. It's also a reward of grace. Matthew 25:34 to 40, the practical and tangible actions of love to the brethren are likened to doing a loving deed to God. If we love the brethren, that's likened to doing a loving deed to God. Hebrews 6:10, God does not forget a labour of love. You really need to dwell on these things. I need to dwell on these things. The God of all creation notes that we are doing a labour of love and will not forget that. Last couple of points. The demonstration of this love. This is why we should cultivate it. Acts 2, 41 to 47. The early church sacrificially giving, fellowshipping together, promoting the gospel together, demonstrating love to each other in practical ways. Acts 4, 33. And great grace was upon them all. And finally, the infusion of love into the church. John 17, 21. We are one in Christ. He is the Father. This is where that love flows from. This is where it comes to us. It deserves to be cultivated. It deserves to be nurtured, developed, and above all, it deserves to be practiced. See how the Christians love each other.
Amen. Mm.